Continuing with the subject, it feels like it was ages ago. This was last 2 weeks ago. Second of all, so much has happened in between. But the subject of opening packages, bottles, wrappings, and all that type of thing. So I do want to do a bit of a recap on what we've seen. And I spent some time yesterday making some seder in my head of how to present it. So I'm going to say it like this. Opening packages is more of a modern problem than it was in the olden days. In the olden days, they had certain kalim that they used, and today we have different materials, different vessels. And the question is, how do our modern day packages compare to the olden day to know which one is mutter? So, in the olden days, they had a vessel which they called a mustaki. A mustaki is a broken vessel. You had, everybody who knows, if you have china, china breaks very easily. So if you have an earthenware vessel and all you had to do was drop it, now you have one less earthenware vessel in your house. So people, what they did was, instead of throwing it out, you know, sometimes you threw it out, they wouldn't, you know, you could get another one. Sometimes it was worth it that you put the pieces together and you stack it with tar. They didn't have tar like we have tar that comes from crude oil. It was a derivative of the tree sap. And they used that to as a glue and as a sealant, and they stuck the broken pieces together, and the kli was used and probably used quite a few times until it eventually fell apart again. And this type of kli, the Mara talks about, and tells us that it's a vessel that is not considered important. And therefore, the standard discussion of boine and soiser, of building and destroying, when it comes to kalim, doesn't apply in the same way as in a mustaki. It's already considered a broken kli. So although it was still used, it can be used, but halachically, we consider it a broken kli. So when you break it, you're breaking something broken, and that's not awesome. Because, I think before we start, before this, I should have mentioned something else, is that on Shabbos, the halacha is, we're not allowed to build, we're not allowed to destroy. The typical case of building is you put brick on brick and you build a house. Destroying is you take your big sledgehammer and you knock the house down. Of course, when it comes to the negative side of things, when we say destroying, so like most other melachos and Shabbos, if it's a makalko, if the result is a negative result, then it's a derabbanan, and only if it's a manasseh taken will it be a Doraisa. What's Amanasa Takin is that you want to have something positive that comes out of it. So you have the typical example will be when you sew two pieces of cloth together to make a garment, and you made a mistake in the sewing. So you tear out what you have so far done and re-sew it correctly. That is considered as tearing korea amanas litvar on condition to re-sew it. When you re-sew it, so since it's, even though you haven't yet re-sewn it, but you've done it in a way that it is for the sake of re-sewing, that's considered as a tearing that has a positive result. It's for good. It's not for destruction. And that is how we've been, that's a golden rule on Shabbos, that if it's a makalko, if it's destructive what we're doing, then it's a derabbanan. But if it's destructive for the sake of reconstruction, then it becomes a doraisa. So boina and soiser is the same thing. A person who tears down a house is a derabbanan. You tear down a house in order to rebuild it, that is a doraisa. Now comes the question, this idea of boina and soiser, building and destroying, does that exist in movable items or only with non-movable items, real estate? And that is a machlokes. And even those who hold that there is such a thing as boina and soiser in kalim, that movable items do have the idea of building and destroying, but it's got to be a big building and a big destruction. In other words, when I take a nail and I put it into my wall to hang up a picture, that is an issur d'oraisa of boina on Shabbos. I've added to my house, I've added to the construction. Even though the nail weighs 2 grams and it is 3 centimeters long, that doesn't matter. That is considered as if I built a full house. It's the same is for Shabbos. When I built a full house, I put a nail in the wall. But when it comes to movable items, if I added a handle to a kli, maybe it's makabe patish, which I'll explain in a moment, but boyne it's not. What is makabe patish? Makabe patish is when something is 90% finished, and then you do the last thing and makes it 100% finished. When something goes from 90 to 100, or let's say 99 to 100, it doesn't matter how much is done, but the last makabe patish is literally translated as smacking with a hammer. That means the last hit with a hammer that completes the kli becomes an isur in itself. So making a hole, for example, if you have a wall and then you break open a hole, or even not in the wall, even in a keli, so that is considered you're creating now an entranceway that is used for going in and going out, and therefore that is considered makabe patish. It's not boiler and soiser, it's makabe patish. So in a utensil, in a movable item, you have to take into account makabe patish. And we'll see cases where that comes up. But concerning boine and soiser, that we say doesn't apply in kalim. And some of the thing is hold that it applies if you build a whole kli from scratch to finish. Or if you build, or you destroy a kli completely, that would also be soiser. And then obviously it will be soiser, depending on the rice and the bottom, depending on what the purpose of the theory is, why you're destroying it. Going back to what we said, we had this mustaki. The mustaki was this earthenware vessel that had already broken, and now you've stuck the pieces together with tar, and now it's usable again, and it's not just a one-time use, could be for multiple use, but it's considered a kli that's ready for the rubbish. It's something that's going to be thrown out. If that's the case, we say that such a utensil is considered already broken, and if a person breaks it on Shabbos, he hasn't done an Isur. Because he's broken something already broken, so that's not considered stira. In a house, it might be a different story, but in vessels where we say, first of all, it's the pinion that holds, ain binyan v'stira v'kelim, there is no such thing as building and destroying when it comes to movable items. And even according to the pinion that holds that there is such a thing, that also is only when you destroy a whole kli, but a broken kli that you destroy, you're not chayav. So that is an introduction to the subject. There's one more thing I want to bring up, and then we'll see how this fits into open packages in the modern era. And that is the halacha tells us that dates are not very edible when they are picked off the tree. They have to be stored for a while, and they ripen off the tree and then become edible. Interesting, the Lashon is bad dates. Doesn't seem, maybe it's not all dates, maybe it's only certain dates. But the point is that these dates, they made a wicker basket out of palm branches, and they put the dates inside the wicker basket, and then they tied the basket closed, and they left the dates like this for a while. How long did they know? But they left it for a while until they became edible and ready for use. Now the question is, the person wants to eat a date of Shabbos, and he wants to take a date out of the basket. So we say that he's allowed to undo the knots, or cut the string that holds it closed. The reason for that is because the knot that was made in the string to hold it closed is not a kesher shekayama. It's not a permanent knot, and only a permanent knot may you not open on Shabbos, but a kesher she'eno shekayama you may open on Shabbos, and therefore you can open it because it was not made for permanence. So, but then the halacha continues and says, or else, you can just slice a hole in the side of your wicker basket and take out some dates. The question is, what happened to Korea? You've got some sort of material over here which is made up of a weave of palm branches, and tearing material at least should be a derabbanon. So why is it so straightforward mutter to open up? So we explain that it is considered as a shumar lepri. When this wicker basket was made to protect the dates, it is so part of the process of the ripening of the dates that it is considered as if it was another layer of a peel. Just like you have peels on an orange, and etc. So you have a peel on a banana. So you have a peel on a collection of dates. And just like peels, there's no problem of tearing the peel off. So so too, you can tear off this wicker basket. You can rip it without any problem of courier. Now comes the question, halacha lemaaseh in our day and age, what is the din of all our disposable wrappings? You buy a box of matzahs, and inside the matzahs come in plastic bags. You buy milk in a plastic bag. What is the din of that plastic bag? Chips comes in a plastic bag. So many things come. You come that food is wrapped in plastic, or the various, the bunch of food is wrapped in plastic. You have sugar comes in a paper bag where the top has been folded over and a bit of glue has been put down to stick it down. How do we look at all these things in Shabbos? Oh, there's another point I want to bring up, and that is the opinion of Toifer. That is sewing and unsewing, meaning ripping. Toifer and Korea. So Toifer is the general understanding of Toifer is you have a material, you take a needle and thread, and you use thread as a medium to bind the two materials together. Toifer has its rules. You've got to do in and out and a knot, or you've got to do in and out three times. But basically, you're taking a medium and you're using it to bind two pieces of material together. Says the Rambam, Hamadavik niyores halidei koinon til soifrim chayav mishum toifer v'akorea chayav mishum korea. Let me explain. Someone who takes glue and pastes two pieces of paper together, that is the issur of Toifer on Shabbos. And if later he then rips them apart, that is the issur of Korea on Shabbos. So why do I bring this up? Because we're going to have also cases where things are stuck together and you're going to have to open them. You have a chips packet where you have a hollow tube of plastic, where it was heat sealed on one side and heat sealed on the other side, and now you have the two sides of the plastic which are bound together. So the chora, that's a form of toifer, it's a form of sewing them together. And when you open on Shabbos, perhaps you're chayav in korea. Or you have a bag of flour, the top, or sugar, the top of the bag has been rolled over and then used a bit of glue and stuck down. Now the question is, can you unstick them on Shabbos? So these are the basic, I think these are the three basic rules that we're going to be dealing with when we come to open packages and chats. And that's how we started last time when we spoke about packages, is that we said there are those who say that you can open packages and chats, and those who say you can't open packages and chats. So now I'll explain a little bit behind that. And that is that when I have let's take a milk bag, for example, as a good example. When we have the dates in the wicker basket, we say the wicker basket acts like a peel to the fruit, or as the halacha calls it, klipe egoiz, it's like a shell to a nut. So too, let's say that the plastic bag that the milk is in is a shell. And therefore, there's no restrictions on what you do to your plastic bag. You can open it without any problem. There is such an opinion on Shabbos. And therefore, that opinion holds basically any wrapping, which is just to keep something fresh. And when you take it off, you discard it. That it should be considered as what we call choslos. Choslos is the wicker basket. And therefore, it should be mutter. However, like everything else in Yiddishkeit, there's two opinions, and the second opinion holds that no, Choslos is a special case, and you can't say that blindly with every other case. But rather, what they deal with is the other one I spoke about, is the mustaki, which also is a chiddush to say that our plastic containers are considered mustaki, because mustaki, as I said, is an earthenware vessel that was broken and put together with tar in a manner that you can reuse it. I'm avoiding using the word temporary manner, because it's much more than could be for long-term use as well. It's just that it was, until you bought a new one, you fixed it and then you chucked it. It wasn't considered a special kli. So says that the poskim, that anything which doesn't get reused should get a din of a mustaki. So even a metal can where you have your tuna inside, you have your peach slices, you have your corn, whatever it is that's inside a good quality metal can. Nevertheless, that metal can gets it in of this mustaki, because what do we do with it when it's empty? We chuck it. Since it doesn't have a second use, so mamela, it doesn't have the hashivus of a kli. Since it doesn't have the importance, it doesn't have the status of a proper kli, so the destruction of this kli is not a problem. As we said, to break a broken kli is not osur on Shabbos. So if you consider that it doesn't have the importance and the status of a proper kli, so then its destruction is not a problem on Shabbos. So when you open a can on Shabbos, you're just destroying it, you're not creating anything, and therefore it should be mutter to open the can. Again, this is involves a machlokes of whether we deal with it, how we deal with it like that. But therefore, muskim, it's understood by most of the paskim that if in the process of opening the can, you destroy it, you make it that it's now unable to contain anything in the future, so then for sure what you've done is you've destroyed something which is anyway headed for the garbage, so then it will be considered as no Isur on Shabbos. Therefore, the recommended way to open, as I said, there is an opinion that holds you can just open a can on Shabbos, which the general opinion is not like that, but you should know that there is such an opinion, and therefore, in a case where you, when you really need something urgently, for example, you need to get food for a baby, so whenever it comes to children's food, and there's no other way to get it, we say children are considered as Polish Shabbos Akana, and therefore, for them, we will push aside the rabbons if necessary. So if you need it, so we will rely on it in such cases. But generally speaking, we don't rely on opening cans just like that. Everybody agrees that if you were to destroy the can in the process of opening it, for example, you puncture it in a way that it will not hold liquid anymore, so then you can open it, you puncture it on the one side, you open on the other side, and that will be fine on Shabbos. All this obviously is after the introduction we gave last week, and that is that when Shabbos comes, one should preferably open all the packages that we need over Shabbos in advance. If you expect them to serve tuna over Shabbos, the right thing to do is to open the tuna can before Shabbos. We're all talking about when things that you forgot to prepare, or you didn't have time to prepare, or you didn't prepare for whatever reason, but the best way is to open everything in advance. For those things that you didn't open, so now we'll find you a heter that if you puncture your can, so then you can open it. If the liquid inside the can leaks after you puncture it, that's not a problem of boiler, because even though you've got your corn and the water that the corn sits in is leaking and you keep the corn behind, as long as that's not your purpose of puncturing the can, that you don't now stand over the sink and wait till all the water drips and then you pour it out, so then you tuck it in for the sake of boiler. But it's just, this is a, what we call a poil yotz, it's just a side effect to what you're doing. So then it's fine. As soon as you open the can, you pour the remainder of the water and the corn out, then the few drops that came out when you punctured it is not a problem. So that's why we divide. So we're going to start. So that's how we started last week, that we divided the different types of packages into two. First of all, we said those that get reused, those that don't get reused. Those that get reused, so then we have the problem, because they get a status of a choshev kli, and you have to be careful not to destroy a choshev kli on Shabbos. Those that don't get reused, so that we're going to say fits into the category of what we call the mustaki, and the main of those are considered destroyed before you even started, and therefore you may further destroy them on Shabbos. So that's why we divide them into the two categories of, is it going to be reused? Is it not going to be reused? Even if it's a quality that it can be reused. The question is, what is the general consensus in how these things are used? then comes another issue that we spoke about, and that is sticking. when you seal two sides of a paper, you said you stick two papers together, that's considered as toga, that's considered as sewing of Shabbos. And you have to be careful that you don't korea when you tear it apart. That's considered as korea, that's considered as tearing. So Rav Shlomo Zalman has a very interesting swara, and he says that something which was glued together in a way that it's to be opened without much effort is not really a good form of glue. Let me explain. The typical case of gluing in the olden days was you had a letter. Someone wrote a letter. You rolled up the parchment and then you stuck the edge down, or you put it into an envelope and you sealed the envelope by gluing the flap down. Then, when the letter arrives, what do? We rip it. Now, when we rip it, if you rip it at the bottom of the glue, loved after you're ripping the two pages together, you're separating exactly how it was, could be that you're tearing some of the paper with it. Or what's more common, if you have something in an envelope, you slide a knife into the side and you rip the top open. And the glued part essentially is there to stay. So you're not undoing the glued part. Whereas today we have a lot of applications where the glue is only just a temporary way of holding something in place. Let me give a different example, just so I can understand. When you have a plaster, so now Americans say we don't call it a band-aid. When you have a plaster, so it comes with a tab, a paperish plasticated tab on the plaster, so that the stickiness won't go away, but that tab comes off very easily, it doesn't rip anything. Comes off very nice and easy, and then you can apply the plaster to the wound. So the question is, that tab, what was it put there? So the Maisa, I saw, halacha the Maisa, we say that if you know that you're going to be using a plaster on Shabbos, then preferably you should remove the tabs before Shabbos and put them back again. Because when the tabs were applied in the factory, they were applied to remain there long term until usage. Therefore, it could be a form of sewing, of tefira. When you take it off, it could be a problem of korea. But if you didn't, there's a lot of reason to say that it's mutter, because the type of sewing they used, call it sewing because the Rambam says gluing is sewing, the type of gluing, the type of sewing they used is not the type of gluing that was used in times of Chazal or what we use on paper, because it's nothing really permanent, just there as a way of keeping this paper in place. When you pull it off and nothing happens, you haven't ripped anything, nothing has been destroyed, the glue is still intact, the paper is still intact, everything's still intact. So Rav Shlomo Zalman has a swara that when you have that type of seal, he holds that that's not really proper type. I mean, if you're going to rip that, and not on top of it, it's going to be a korea menas l'kalko, it's going to be a tearing which does not have a constructive result, but rather a destructive result. And if that's the case, then he says, put those two together and we'll be mutter to open anything that is stuck in a way that it is made to be open easily. Just as an aside, he continues, and this is something I had this once said this out to someone. But he says quite clearly that this is how he passed it. Something that is sealed in two sides. For example, most of our snacks, whether it is Bisley, Bamba, pretzels, chips, Doritos, whatever it is, they come in a plastic bag where, can you read the plastic bag? The plastic bag is made with one long sleeve, and then they cut them and seal them at the bottom and at the top. So although the seal is made, most of our bags today, even a child can pull the two sides together and open it up. So the seal is made very loose and very easy to open. And based on what Rav Shlomo Zalman said, that should be fine to open on Shabbos. Nevertheless, he comes now with a new swaros. Something that is sealed on two sides, the way it's designed is one side you open and you eat from, and the other side is going to stay permanently closed for the oil and void. Someone might open both sides. That's not not the point. The point is the way it was designed is that one side stays closed, one side gets opened. And the Chavrusa says to me, he says, if you lived in a purely Yekisha world, then you knew that all the Yekis were going to open the top of the bag with the right upwards and everybody else, and not at the bottom of the bag. You get no which sides for opening. But we don't live in such a Yekisha world, and people just open it whichever side comes first. Based on that, says Rabbi Zalman, that when they closed it, they closed it with in mind that one side at least is going to stay closed forever. And then that gets a din of a choshava, an important type of closing, and therefore opening that on Shabbos would be a problem of career. So this whole heta of opening things that open easily only applies to something which doesn't have two sides to it, because then you have a problem that one side is, one of the sides obviously was designed to stay closed, and you don't move. And it could be either or, and therefore one shouldn't open it. That's why when a practical and very practical example of this is when they give out toffees in shul to throw at a chosim. So you come with the shul, come to shul with a bag, and they rip the bag open at the top. According to this, they should not be doing that, even if they're going to empty the candies very quickly and throw the bag away. But nevertheless, the way they opened it should not be done that way. Rather, the bag should be sliced down the side or use a knife to cut it somewhere, avoid the writing, but cut it somewhere, rather than to pull it open at the place where it's been set. These bags
are easy. And then destroy the bag.
So you don't really have to destroy the bag. If you hold that this bag is medim, most of the kids have said about that it's just a something that's going to be thrown away, then the actual destruction of the bag is not necessary. It's only if it's going to, if it has the possibility of being reused, that we're machmir that it should be destroyed. So if you have a carton or a can, then we try to destroy them. But if it's a bag, then it's not so necessary to destroy, as long as you don't tear it open where it was sealed closed, if it's a type of bag closed in two sides. I'll give an example of something which is different. Is first of all, we pass them. So I saw that I've known the customs that it doesn't matter what's inside the bag. If it's something you need for Shabbos, then you treat it as anything else. It's not just food. So let us say you need a Shabbos shirt. The Shabbos shirt got dirty, and now you need to put on another Shabbos shirt. You look, all the Shabbos shirts are dirty, but you happen to have a new one in the bag. How do shirts come? Shirts come in a plastic wrapping, which is basically a bag with a top has been folded over and stuck down. So according to the Shlomo Zalman, you can undo the sticking. You have no problem, you can undo the sticking and take the shirt out. You want to be machmir, you have to undo the sticking so you can slice it. But you don't have to destroy the bag, because that bag is going to the rubbish box, and you then can take the shirt out. So the same thing if you have a bag of serviettes, napkins as the other people call it. Same thing, you have this plastic wrapping around it. You can actually, so it depends on how it will seal, but you can break the bag in some way, use a knife, cut it open on the side, and it's no problem. Again, I like to say again, that always, if it's possible to prepare these things before Shabbos, it's always much better.
You just don't always prepare when you have surprise guests.
That's right. That's why you need to know these a lot. Right, so it will come out then, if you go through the various examples, if you open up your sugar bag. According to Shlomo Zalman, you can open up a sugar bag as long as you're not doing it in a way that you're going to reuse the sugar bag. So you should have intention to empty it out.
1 minute and 3 seconds.
Okay, so attention. Well, So basically, that's the main rules of the opening. And next week we'll go into more details of the various individual cases and other examples of things that come up to opening our package of the Shabbos. But we'll hold it there for this week.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye, Bella. Have a good day.
You have a recording of this here in case anybody wants to catch it, right?
Yes. I always send it to the
Understand.
Can you discuss the next week the cartons?